School we loved Elmhurst, lived for a God shed his grace on thee. Loyal be thy sons and daughters to thy memory.
Welcome to the Calling All Voices podcast. As we begin our sesquicentennial year, this podcast series will chart the growth of Elmhurst University from a small pro-seminary into the comprehensive higher education institution we are today.
Through interviews with students, faculty, staff, and alumni, Dr. Janice Tuck-Lively and I, Dr. Erica McCombs, will uncover how Elmhurst University charted its path and where it hopes to go in the future in the fulfillment of its institutional vocational calling.
Our guest today is Professor Larry Carroll. Larry is an instructor in the Department of Business and Economics at Elmhurst University. He is the founding executive director of the Wiegand Center for Professional Excellence and served in that position from January 1997 through June 2018. Larry's teaching and research interests focuses on organization and leadership development. He teaches courses at both the undergraduate and graduate level in leadership, human resource management, organization behavior, and team development.
Larry has worked with organizations in the development of effective executive teams, leadership development, cultural change, and strategic planning. Over the years, he served as a member of the board of directors of Wheaton St. Francis High School, Metropolitan Family Services of DuPage, and the Career Transaction Center of Chicago. Currently, he's a member of the board of directors of the Community Bank of Elmhurst and the Sylvia and William W. Gretsch Family Memorial Foundation, along with being a member of the Elmhurst Rotary Club. Larry and his wife Carla have 4 children and 6 grandchildren.
Larry, Erica, and I would like to thank you again for joining us for our Calling All Voices podcast. I guess the first question that I'd like to ask you is, what brought you to Elmhurst University? You have the distinction of being the most senior faculty member here at the university. So exactly how long have you been here a part of the faculty, and what made you choose Elmhurst when you started your search for an academic position?
Okay, well, thank you. First of all, thank you for asking me. So it's an honor to be here. So I really appreciate the two of you asking me to be part of this. What brought me to Elmhurst? Well, I always had a passion for helping people wanting to learn. So my passion was to help individuals get their station in life, their passion in life, and wanting to really learn. Higher education was a place for me to do that, I thought. So why Elmhurst? It's kind of a long history. My family goes back to a long-established Elmhurst family. Their son was a student here who was about 12 years older than I was. They were very connected to the Shoddy family. So I heard a lot about Elmhurst. So when I began to look for opportunities in higher education, Elmhurst became the place to start, along with others. I was fortunate enough that I was offered a what I want to call trial basis. And that was, I was hired as an adjunct faculty member and was able to see, you know, get my feet wet, work with students. And the adjunct position was actually an evening position. Back in those days, I started in 1970 as an adjunct faculty member. And back in those days, we had a really large population of adult students in the program. There were very, very few institutions in the area that had an adult program at that point. So I got to work with these young adults who were trying to improve their life, get a better quality life for them, get a job for them, improve their station in life. So I began to, I just really enjoyed it. Then I was, I think, pretty good at it. Got some good reviews, and the department chair in early 1974 said to me, we are looking for a full-time position. Would you be interested in applying? Mm-hmm. So I applied for that position. I was gratefully hired for that position. And so in the July 1st of 1974, I became a full-time faculty member. So I've been teaching here for a total of 51 years.
You have the wonderful distinction of having a lot of history with the institution and the community. You also have a organizational behavior kind of background and understanding. How do you think our history has helped us to develop a unique institutional perspective?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that have come out of that. Janice, you mentioned that there are people who say that there's something special about this place. And over the years, I've heard that. I've heard people who've been here, and even recently with some of the retirees, who will say, I came to Elmhurst with the understanding of being here 4 or 5 years, and there was just something about this place, okay? And for me, the something about this place is the way in which the community has worked together. Regardless of the ups and downs, the struggles that we've had at times, the faculty, staff, administration has worked together. So the uniqueness, I think, is that the institution's niche, in my mind, has been one in which we find young people who really are at a certain stage of their life, and we tend to try to meet them at their stage. And we tend to try to give them opportunities to grow and become a different person. Over the years, I've said, when you come to Elmhurst, you're a person who comes in who has a certain amount of self-awareness, skills, talents. And hopefully what we're here to do is to improve that over the years that you're here. And when you graduate, you're a different person. And that you are an individual who is able to see more about yourself that you can give to society. That's the part of it. The other piece that I think is an important part is the, I want to say the UCC heritage of the institution. One of the things that attracted me to Elmhurst to stay here was the openness of the UCC church, the idea that it's kind of it's a traditional, long-time institution, but it's really liberal in a lot of ways in accepting different people of faith and not of faith. And there's a uniqueness to that. And I think the idea of the Niebuhrs and the work that they did around social justice and social issues was really an important piece. And I think that's kind of the grounding of the institution.
I agree with you. When I first came to Elmhurst, that was one of the things that attracted me, the affiliation with the UCC. And I'm a member of another denomination, but it seemed as though, in addition to the educational base that we were giving our students, there were also some perspectives and a worldview as it relates to service as well, I think, that was so important, I think, for students in general, to have a well-rounded character. So it's not just students, but we are helping them to mature, as you said, as human beings. We take them as they are when they come in. And I've watched over the years, we've seen students that start as freshmen, and then by the time they get to their senior year, you can see the difference and those experiences that we offer. I totally agree with you. What would you consider, and in terms of we look at this institutional perspective, this institutional history, over time there are shifts with every institution. What do you consider to be the greatest shifts at Elmhurst University, systemically and culturally, that you've witnessed over the years that reflect our progress as an institution, that we know some places remain stagnant, but I don't think that's the case with Elmhurst. Just in my time that I've been here, I can see when I first came how we've progressed and gone a certain direction. So what do you consider the major shifts?
Well, I think there's been an interesting piece that has been really an important part of the shift. And I'm gonna talk about it as the fact that when I first came to Elmhurst, right out on the front of the lawn facing Prospect. It's a liberal arts school. We were a liberal arts institution. And what I saw happening was we were very, very good at preparing young people into the liberal arts. And we had a professional emphasis, okay? You know, it's at one particular point, the Department of Business, and then adding the nursing department. So we had this piece of liberal arts and professional preparation. One of the uniquenesses, I believe, that happened in this institution, and it happened in a lot of venues in a lot of ways, was that the institution was able to grapple with the idea of integration of the liberal arts and professional preparation. That regardless of your major, regardless of your academic interest, that what you would be doing is you would be a professional in the field. Okay? So you needed that liberal arts grounding and that preparation professionally. Now, you know, we can go to the idea that certain programs are professional programs or they're programs that are career, or some people would even say vocational. But the institution has handled that and has integrated that kind of process across the board. I can remember back in the early 70s when I was teaching courses and having a struggle with students' writing. I reached across the campus and went to the English department and said, I need help. And Gordon Couchman was the chair of the English department at that point. And Gordon and I sat and we talked, and he said, how do we do that? So what we came up with is we didn't call it at that time an internship, but we came up almost with an internship for a senior English major in writing, who would then be the person who would review all the written work that my students were doing, would give them that lens with it, and would allow that student to get some expertise in that. At that point, I don't think we said, well, you know, this is preparation. We just said we have skills here and talents. And so I think the breadth of that has been people who have, been creative, have been innovative in the way in which they try to use the skills and talents of the students and the faculty.
Now, that's amazing, because it was before there were tutoring centers and things like that. You were already thinking of ways of using student talent to help other students. So that relationship, it was helping the student that was looking at the work and critiquing it, as well as the students whose skills needed to be strengthened. Would you say that you've seen that same progressiveness culturally on this campus as well? Because I know the campus, in terms of the demographics, were quite different when you came in here. You came here in 1970 than what we're seeing today in 2021.
Yes, I the cultural piece, I think, is that at some particular point, I think the faculty in the liberal arts, I'm going to use the word, tolerated the business program. They knew that there were students that needed it, and they said, okay, those are places where people can get employed, can get the work, and that's fine. But I don't think they embraced it, okay? So I think the culture over the years has been that we've now began to embrace those pieces. And, you know, we can talk about in any of the major programs on campus where there is the embracing of how do we prepare our students for the world of work? How do we best get them to be the candidates that employers are looking for? How can we get them to be the candidates that graduate schools see as better prepared to go on to that kind of education?
Just one other point I was thinking about in terms of this. There seems to be, and within the Elmhurst community, I think this is a shift I've seen. There is this idea of an openness and a welcomeness as it relates to difference. And I'm thinking about that too, when we've gone from, I know when I first came here, the only person of color in a lot of my classes was me. And now I look at the diversity with our students, too. So had that always been a commitment, because we see it first has been racial, and now we see it as it relates to gender difference and alternative sexuality. So that, I would think, has been a major shift as well, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I think there's been a lot of cultural shifts that way. And I believe that in many ways, what I have really appreciated the institution for and appreciated my colleagues for is that there's a lot of us who say, I don't understand this. I don't know it. It's not part of my experience, but I'm willing to learn.
Yes, yes.
So
yes.
I'm willing to learn, and I'm willing to learn from others.
Yes.
And the different experiences. So I think that's been a way in which there's a cultural, what I want to call an openness to differences.
Yes.
Have we struggled with it? Yes. Have we fumbled? Of course we have. But I think we've always looked at a way to kind of encourage that openness. And I think the other piece that has been an important part is that over the years, the institution has said, you know, this is what we're good at. And by the way, we're not so good at this, okay? So we're going to kind of stay away from what we're not. We're going to really provide what we're really good at. And I think the interesting part has been the fact of bringing on people who are really trying to increase the quality of the experience here.
Yes.
For me, another cultural piece that has been a thread throughout the life of the institution is the sense that no matter what, who it is, and I want to say in matter what level or what position a person has, it's how do we provide the best educational opportunity yes. for our students both yes. in and out of the classroom.
I agree. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
One of the things that I love about the way you've talked about some of this is the emphasis on the student and also the willingness of faculty to work across disciplines to best help students.
Yes.
I find that to be a really amazing aspect of Elmhurst. And one of the things that I love about being here is the way in which people across different departments are willing to reach out to each other and say, hey, I'm trying to teach writing with my business students.
Yes.
Can the English department help me yes. here? And in a lot of different ways. And you've also talked about some of the wonderful values of openness that we have here at Elmhurst. Could you talk a little bit more about some of the things that maybe have remained unchanged at Elmhurst that you consider to be part of our legacy and the things that we would like to pass on as we continue to evolve and develop into the 21st century?
I think there's always been, from the faculty perspective, and let's say the faculty charge in many ways, there's always this sense of research mm-hmm. and a sense of teaching. So one of the things that has not changed, we are really, really a very good teaching institution. Our faculty across disciplines, in my experience, have found ways in which to integrate their research with their teaching.
Yes.
So they are teachers and researchers. And I think that's one of the things that have made people stay around here, that they can be teachers, but they can also do their research, okay? Some of it is very traditional research, some of it is applied research, but it's the idea of that particular integration going on.
I agree with you, because when I graduated with my doctorate, I was made to feel you had to choose one or the other, either a research institution or a teaching institution. And I found I enjoyed teaching, but there was also a place for me to do research as well, the applied research, as you were talking about. And in doing that, I think we're passing that on to the students. We're encouraging both for them as well, which is something that I hope continues to be a part of our legacy. When I think about what you were saying as this relates to our students, curiosity. It seems like we're always prompting our students to remain curious and to, how do I say this? All ideas are welcome. We may not agree with all of them in the classroom. I love that with my students, but to get them to think and to follow that thread that we may start in a classroom is really exciting. And I saw that at Elmhurst, and that was one of the reasons I wanted to remain here. Like yourself, I was going to be here. I thought 4 years, do the academic thing and maybe move. And here I am all this time, and I've enjoyed every moment of it. And the students had a lot to do with it.
Students are wonderful.
The way we engage our students, they're wonderful. And it's they're diverse in terms of various levels. And you mentioned that, Larry, at some schools, they just have a certain type of student. I think at Elmhurst, they're diverse levels, but yet we feel that everyone has something to contribute, and we can help everyone become to grow into as students and as scholars, so which is, again, I think an important part of our legacy.
And I think the students take the same attitude that the faculty does, that we're all here to help each other.
Yes.
And I've seen it in my classrooms where students reach out to each other and try and help each other. It's not that kind of competitiveness that's so unproductive to true learning.
And you asked about the thread of the culture and the legacy piece. We recently, as an institution, obviously went through a name change, and we are now doing a reorganization. And I was involved in that for the 3 years of that program. And there was a lot of questions, a lot of stuff going on. But if you cut through the questions and really get to the chase, what really excited me were the questions or the thoughts about, well, if we do this, how is that going to influence or affect my collaboration with that person or that department? How do we not lose what we have? Okay, and we all know that change is uncertainty, and uncertainty causes questions. But the excitement for me was that happened. And the more excitement for me was that did not just come from what I want to call longtime faculty. That came from some of our younger colleagues, okay? And there was also questions around, in these reorganizations, what does it mean for other non-academic parts of the institution? Which means the idea of how do we embrace each other and not just think about our world? Okay, so that's a piece that I think has been a part of the legacy that it's hard to put your fingers on, but it's kind of the unwritten rules, and the unwritten practices. So
you mentioned across the board in terms of faculty, administration, staff, everyone working together, and that's a part of Elmhurst. You yourself are a part of not only the Elmhurst community, but the larger city of Elmhurst community as well. And I know you have involvement with the Chamber of Congress, the business, is it the Chamber of Business?
The Rotary Club.
The Rotary Club,
yeah,
yes, I'm sorry,
Club,
the Rotary
right.
Club.
Yeah.
And also, I think the Museum of History, the Elmhurst Museum of History.
Let me go back and give kind of
how all those pieces fit together in terms of our working together.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I'm going to go back to when I was hired full time. One of the things that the then president, Ivan Frick, was focusing on was the community, okay? He wanted to figure out how to let the community know who we were and what we were doing here. So part of the charge that I was given as my kind of like service to the community, mm-hmm. as one of the things for faculty, was to reach out to the extended community, the business community in Elmhurst, and let them know what was here. So the interesting piece was I became a member of the Elmhurst Chamber of Commerce for a while. I got involved with the city of Elmhurst, did some work with them. But the thing that was really interesting was inviting people to campus.
Yes.
Okay? And many of the people we initially invited were people who were either Elmhurst residents or very close to being here in Elmhurst and doing business here in Elmhurst. And one of the threads that we heard from those folks is kind of like, wow, what a gem. Hmm. Okay? And we started to say, we laughed a little bit, but and it was a kind of a silly piece, but we said, you know what? We are the best kept secret in Elmhurst. Okay. Yeah. And so our goal was to not become the best kept secret in Elmhurst. Was to be. And that was the way in which we tried to connect with businesses to say, here's what we have to offer you. We did not go out when saying, what are you going to give us? Mm-hmm. We said, here's what we have to offer you. And what we meant by that is we have people here, young people who are fresh in their careers, close to getting ready to graduate, who can provide some services for you and do some things for you. You know, we used the word internships, but we weren't quite sure what that meant at that point. But we created an internship initiative. Then the other part was to try to get folks in the on campus to be involved in the community so that there was an integration. There's this old saying around some university towns, there's the town and gown concept.
Yes.
You know, never the twain shall meet, okay? So we wanted to make sure there was not a town and gown concept. And by the way, there's some interestingly subtle pieces that were created. If we look at Copeland Memorial Hall, okay, if you think about this, and many of us do not see it this way, but if you look, you circle the campus, and you look at the campus from outside the campus, all of the buildings, with the exception of Copeland, face their backs to the community.
They do.
I had not thought about that. You're absolutely
Copeland
right.
Copeland Hall faces the community on Alexander.
Mm-hmm. It sure does.
It was designed intentionally to do that.
Wow.
So there was a subtle design to say, we want to open our doors to you. Open our doors to the community. Okay, and so you know, the community gets involved in a lot of things. They come to the performances, Festival of Lights, lessons and carols,
lectures.
I mean, there's a whole bunch, and there are people who really, really embrace, and faculty have done that. I mean, you know, currently, Rob Butler sits on the Historical Foundation Board, okay? Mm. We've had people do that. Desiree Chen is very involved in the community, and we can go back over history, and we've built that up so that we become a resource. I think in the late 70s and early 80s, we started to get reach-outs from the city. By the way, we're doing, can you help us with?
Oh, I love that.
Okay, so that was the idea of integrating into that, and letting the community know that we wanted to be part of them and we wanted them to be part of us. And I think that was part of the move.
Larry, when you think about it, as part of our institutional vocation, to follow up what you're saying, why was that important for Elmhurst that we didn't want that town and gown, which you do see in a lot of places, but there was a desire, it seemed, from the beginning that there should be a relationship going on, a reciprocal relationship between the university and the city of Elmhurst. What was behind that thinking because you could have sent students for internships into Chicago or other places, but taking advantage of the resources there and also wanting to provide resources and for the community. Why was that important as a part of how we see ourselves and our institutional vocation?
Well, I can't speak for what the administration was at that time thinking about it. But what I think was kind of in the background of that was that individuals in the community saw the institution as an intricate part of the community.
Yes.
Not just, oh, by the way, I live in Elmhurst, and there happens to be a college in Elmhurst. Mm-hmm. Okay. But that the institution is an intricate piece of that. So there was a movement in which all the service clubs had representatives from the institution on it. The development of the city group, in which there's the university and city group that's going on right now, that's built. All of this built on the idea that came out of the early 70s that said, how do we create and enhance and enrich the relationship between the institution? I think, and I'm not, you know, I can't say that this was conscious, but I think there is a sense of preparing young people to be socially responsible. And that's part of the social justice piece that the Niebuhrs, I think some of that then goes to the idea that the institution said, if we're trying to be creation of individuals that are socially responsible, how are we responsible?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Kind of modeling it, and I want to say, in my terminology, walking our talk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Walking our talk.
Yeah. I don't think I'm ever going to look at Copeland Hall the same.
No,
I mean, that's just such a neat, yes. image for me. I kind of, as somebody who thinks about how we can be intentional in our rhetoric, and buildings can be a kind of rhetoric,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
How we can be intentional in that, I think that's just such a yes. neat invitation and representative of so much history as well. I really love that.
And it's one of the newer buildings, so
yeah.
I think that's another way in which we had asked about those shifts, even structurally, the physical structures, where it's saying we're looking beyond the walls of this university, beyond the confines to that outside world and the community. And as you were saying, preparing our students to be good stewards and good citizens of the I want to say the society, or to make that contribution. It's not either or, you're just a student and that's it, but you're a student and a place, and it's in the Elmhurst, the university, but also that place and that space on the outside, beyond the walls of our university. That's good.
And that was the interesting piece of Copeland. I think at that time, President Cureton, he had that vision. Mm-hmm. He had that vision about how we, you know, how are we part of the community? How are we a resource to the community?
Yes.
And then how does the community, let's say, integrate with us? Mm-hmm. You know, and in a way that makes sense. I mean, there's separation, of course.
Sure.
But in a way that's really a.
But they feel welcome. In a way, how can we welcome them to be a part of what we are doing?
Right.
And you want that.
Yeah. And I've found that there is a real loyalty to Elmhurst, both in not just in faculty and alum, but people that live in the area.
Yes.
I remember one time being in a business, and I had an Elmhurst T-shirt on, and somebody said, "Oh, are you connected with Elmhurst? We love Elmhurst." And they weren't an alum, but they just had that, you know, this is our university.
And yeah,
very, very real.
Yeah, I think a perfect example, and again, something pretty subtle that I don't think anybody has really ever looked at and talked about. It's the partnerships that have been created. Example of that particular partnership is probably, I'll give a couple athletic examples. The women's softball team has their home field at Salt Creek Park.
Mm-hmm.
That is not college property.
Right.
That's Park District property.
Huh.
Okay, so there's a partnership between the Park District and the university. Home field for the baseball team is Butterfield Park. Again, a partnership that goes on. The way in which some of our faculty, for example, are working with the Art Museum or the Historical Museum, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Some of our students have done internships in the city of Elmhurst. So mm-hmm. there's that kind of respect. And then, of course, you know, we invite members of the community to come and present to our classes and be with our classes.
Yeah.
Interesting, just 2 weeks ago, I'm teaching an FYS class. It's called Social Civic Responsibility, Servant Leadership.
Mm.
Okay, so it's about what it means. And the first week of class, we meet by the Niebuhr statue and talk about what that means, where that's at. But 2 weeks ago, out of a very busy schedule, the mayor of Elmhurst came in and spent a class.
That's wonderful.
And talked about why he was, from a social responsibility perspective, involved in the community, okay? I'm not sure that happens. That could happen. It could happen other places.
Yeah.
But you know, I picked up, I was out with the mayor one day at a golf outing. And I said, hey, would you be willing to? Mm. Of course I would.
Mm.
And so he came in and spent an entire class, a good time, piece of his day, to do that. So,
I've seen groups in the summertime or when the weather gets warm in the spring, and they're actually out on the steps near Hammerschmidt Chapel with their exercises, with their baby carriages, or either parents with their children, and you know they're members of the community, but for some reason they feel comfortable that this is as much their campus as it is as ours. And at first I'm like, what are they doing here? This is our campus. I'm like, no, it's theirs as well. They feel that. So there is this partnership that you're talking about that it exists between the community and the institution. And again, I feel that that's one of the things that a responsible institution is striving for, so that line it disappears between the community and the institution, because that's what we're preparing our students to be, members of communities. And so this is a good place to start it.
Another symbolic piece. Again, you talked about carrying on symbolism.
Yeah.
And probably most of us do not know it or see it. We look at West Hall. There's the parking lot behind West Hall, and then there's the west end of campus. And for years, there was this fence that was there.
Sure was. I remember that fence.
And the fence had a hole in it.
Hmm.
And people would kind of huddle through the hole and come on campus, okay? And they would climb over the rocks and climb over stuff, and they'd go walk on campus. And the story goes that at one day, Brian Cureton was back there with Bruce Mather, who was a facilities person at the point, and said, we got to do something here. And so if you go back there now, there's actually an entrance.
Yes, there is.
It's a walking entrance from that dead-end street that's kept up, that's welcoming. So it's a welcoming piece, encouraging people, come on campus, be part of who we are.
Yes.
Okay. The long time, we're celebrating 150th, but 25 years ago, we were doing 125th, and somebody came up with the idea, you know what we should do? We'll do it once, and we'll never do it again. And that is, we should do a summer on the lawn Ravinia Jazz Festival.
Oh, wow.
I remember. I love those.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
So here we are, 25 years later, and the community just embraces.
Yes.
Okay, just embraces that.
Yeah.
I've been to several of them. I've even invited friends, and you see families, and it's absolutely wonderful.
Oh.
And it just started out with the 25 years, and it's been something that's been going on every year, that jazz festival, the Ravinia type thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Well, one of the things that you've mentioned in all of this is the fact that we have have changed from a college to a university, and we've talked a little bit about restructuring, and you talked about how grateful you were that everybody seemed to be wanting to focus on what was best for the students, what was best for collegiality, those kinds of things. What do you consider to be an important change that we should undertake as we move towards our next 150 years, as we develop?
I think we need to recognize that change is going to happen. Mm. We need to try to, it's an exploration. Make sure that we provide the quality experiences we have today into the future, but it's going to look differently.
Right.
Okay. I think we're experiencing that right now. Mm-hmm. Some of us have stumbled through, some of us have done a good job of it, some of us have torn our hair out around the whole thing of when we were on Zoom and, you know, when we were virtual. And I think we've started to embrace, how do we integrate this face-to-face, this virtual, how do we kind of move along? And what I'm really thinking about is this, is that the university's history book, okay, is called the Ever-Widening Circle. Mm-hmm. So when we began to look at reaching out to the community, we were saying, how do we widen our circle? Mm. So I think what we need to look at are ways to widen our circle, maintain the quality of the experiences that we have for our students, continue to integrate liberal arts preparation and professional preparation. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pressure in today's world to move more towards the professional piece and to be less involved in that liberal arts piece. To me, the well-rounded individual is the person who can think big and who can look at differences. Mm-hmm. So that we need to have that. And I think the other part that we look at is, how do we bring together different disciplines? Mm-hmm. Here's what if you want to talk about a dream, yeah. My dream would be that what we would continue to do and build on is not necessarily the faculty and administration integration is in differences, but the students.
Yes. Yes.
How do we bring together, you know, the physics major with the occupational therapy major, with the English major, mm-hmm. with the speech major, mm-hmm. with the business major? You hear where I'm going?
Yes.
In a kind of a project that has some depth that we didn't even know we could have.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not, you know, it's we all know this, that you know, students come in and they sometimes want to look for courses, and what they tend to do if they have electives, mm-hmm. is they look for courses within their academic interest.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think as faculty we need to encourage them, go take that course over in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
And that's where we are. Okay. That's where I think we need to go.
Yeah.
I had one last question for you, but it seems almost like the response to your last question answers this. But just in case there's something else you want to add to that, what lessons from the past do you think we can take with us as we move into our new future as a university? Because the idea of a college is one thing, this little small, intimate, liberal arts type of world. But our future is, we are Elmhurst University. What from our past, with one lesson, if you could think about, okay. or more, that we should, that we can take with us as we move to that?
I can only talk about my experience with that.
Yes.
And it's this. We've had a lot of challenges over the years. We've had a lot of differences of opinions. We've had a lot of, let's say, we don't think it should go one way or another. Once a decision has been made, this community, and in some levels, I'm talking about faculty because that's my my world,
sure.
Right, with
yes.
that.
Absolutely.
They have found a way to make it happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They have found a way. Okay, we're going to move forward, and we're going to make it happen. So the one thing I think we need to take to the future is to continue to have, let's debate, let's look at, let's struggle with, let's figure out. But how once a decision is made,
yes.
let's kind of say, okay, we're going to make it happen. And
yes.
how do we make it happen?
Absolutely. Larry, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
For your comments, your words of wisdom, for your reflections, to give us a view of what Elmhurst University has been, what it is, and what it is going to be. We greatly appreciate you. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It was my honor and pleasure to be here. So thank you.
Thank you.
School we love, Elmhurst, live for it. God shed his grace on thee.